Amen. It seems like everybody's a little bit quiet this morning, but that's all right. We'll just try to preach anyhow. Amen. Amen. What I want to preach about this morning is I want to borrow the title from that song I sung a while ago. I love that song. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. And I can honestly tell you that He does never fail. That's one thing the Lord can't do is fail. You know, people will fail you. Sometimes marriages fail. Sometimes businesses fail. Your friends will fail you. But I can tell you this morning, Jesus will never fail. Amen. I want you to look in Hebrews chapter number 13. Is it hot in here? Is it about right? Okay. It gets hot up here sometimes now. Y'all think it ain't hot? Come on up here. Amen. And I'll get it hot for you in a minute. We'll turn the thermostat up. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 8. Familiar verse of Scripture here said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
That's all I'm going to read this morning. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. It said that Jesus was yesterday, He is today, and not only that, but He's still the same forever. The same Jesus that was with the disciples in the storm, He'll be with me and you in our storm.
Amen.
The same Jesus that was there with the lady, young, the widow that lost her only son and died, He'll be with you when somebody in your family dies. The same Jesus that raised up those that were sick, the same Jesus will raise you up when you're sick.
Amen.
He never fails, and I'm glad for that this morning. I'm glad to know that I know Him, like he was singing. Ronnie was singing about a minute ago. I'm glad I do know Him. And I know Him in a different way than I did when I was growing up as a kid. We're getting ready to go into the Christmas season, and you're going to see Jesus in a manger all over the place. And some people, that's the only way they do know Him. The only way they know Jesus is He was a little baby in a manger, and some shepherds and wise men came along, and a lot of people think the animals talked that night. And you know, all these traditions get started, and people believe it, and Santa Claus and his reindeer, and the Grinch stole Christmas, and Charlie Brown Christmas, and all that stuff. I'm not, you know, trying to be hard on you or nothing, but I'm saying there's more to Jesus than a little baby laying in a manger. There's more to Him than that. Thank God. I'm glad He never fails. Jesus has never taken on something He couldn't do. He's never attempted something that He couldn't complete. He's never started at anything He couldn't finish. I want to say thank God He never fails. I want to say number one, He never fails His Father. I'm glad when Jesus came to this whole world, He came to do the will of His Father. His purpose was the will of God. The Bible says Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or earth or in things in heaven. I will say, thank God He never failed His Father. Jesus said, when Jesus come up, God said, when Jesus come up out of the water, He said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He told the disciples there on the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, this is My Son. Amen. God laid claim to His only Son. He said, this is My Son and I'm pleased with Him. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus never failed to do the will of His Father. There never was a time that God looked down and said, Son, I'm disappointed in you. God never had to look down and say, Son, I wanted you to do that, but you didn't complete it. Oh, brother, I want to say, thank God, when we get to heaven, everything's going to revolve around Jesus Christ because He never failed His Father's will. His purpose was the will of God. He preached the Word of God. John 7:16, Jesus said, My doctrine is not mine, but Him that sent me. Jesus came along and He said, listen, I didn't come to do my own thing. He said, I've come with a purpose. He said, I've got a plan and a purpose, and I've got a message, and I'm going to preach. And brother, it wasn't popular then, and it ain't popular now. Hey, brother, you can put on a guitar and put a cowboy hat on and start singing a honky-tonk song and you can sell records. But you get up that blessed King James Bible and start waving it around and preaching and you won't sell no records. Amen. You'll be lucky if you can give them away. But I want to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ never fails His Father. His purpose was the will of God, and He preached the Word of God. I like good old preaching, don't you? A lot of people seem to fail to understand or forget the fact that Jesus was a preacher. He was a Bible preacher. A lot of people in society and even in churches think that all he was just a good doctor, soft-spoken, and looked like a rock star, you know, long hair and a beard and all that. And he walked around in floppy clothes, and a lot of people think he smoked marijuana and had affairs with those women, but that ain't true. Brother Jesus Christ was a preacher. He went around preaching that blessed book, and in the synagogue, brother, when the doors was open, he was there. Amen. He didn't lay out of church. He didn't miss church. He picked the Bible up, read it, and he preached out of it, and he declared it, and he stood by it, and he lived it. I want to say, Jesus never fails His Father. His purpose was the will of God. He preached the Word of God. His priority was to the work of God. Amen. I want to say, number two, He never fails the faithful. Amen. If you just be faithful to God, He won't fail you. It's amazing. I can tell you stories. I can write a library of books about people I've seen come through churches. I mean, brother, listen. We ought to change the name of the church to open, not Open Door Baptist Church, but Revolving Door Baptist Church. I mean, the way people come and go, people will come to church and they get their life straightened out. Things start running better and things start running smoother and going better. And they'll say, preacher, life has never been better than when I'm in church. And the next thing you know, bam, you miss them on a Wednesday night. A couple weeks go by, bam, they're gone on a Sunday night. And before you know it, they're out of church and they're going back downhill and their life is in wreck and ruin. How many times is it going to take people to understand that this is a good life to live? Why do you think I've stuck with it all these years? I might be dumb, but I ain't stupid, brother. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I've served God all these years, and it ain't always been easy. Matter of fact, most time it is hard. But I've decided a long time ago, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to tough it out. Because I know this life is better than that life. I know I'm going to fare better serving God and going to church and paying my tithes and going every time the door's open than I will if I get back out and sin and fool around and play around and do my own thing, because my own thing is what got me in the mess I was in when I got saved. And I know that don't work. I'm telling you, He never fails those that are faithful. He never fails the faithful. You hang in there and stick with it, and God's going to bless you. Ephesians 1, Paul said, grace be, he said to Paul, apostle Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What is he saying? He said, if you'll just be faithful, God's just going to dump out a blessing for you. I don't know why the Lord's having me hit this morning, but bless God Almighty, you take your medicine. You sit up here and look at me. Don't be looking down at you laugh. We're not praying. We're preaching. Amen. You listen to what I'm telling you. If you want to get on the straight with God and get right with God and keep things going smooth the way they're supposed to, you better quit taking God's money and stealing it and squirreling it away somewhere else and blowing it on something else, because that's thievery. It's dishonest. And God will not bless a man that does that. Well, preacher, I don't agree. I can't help it. I don't care if you agree or not. I'm telling you what this blessed book said. God will turn the devil loose on you. Let the devil devour your life and your family and your finances and your health and everything else if you take from God what rightfully belongs to Him. Now, y'all know me here. I'm pastor here long enough for you to know I don't dwell on tithing. I mean, I don't preach on that all the time, but for some reason, God wants me to hit that this morning. You be faithful to God, not only in your church attendance, but you be faithful in your tithes. See, a tenth of what you make ain't in yours. But God's a little bit nicer than the government. The government takes it up front. They don't even let you count it. They don't even let you carry it around and then pay it. But God lets you carry His money around your wallet and in your purse and your bank account. And I think some of you thieves. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think there's a couple of thieves in the building. Amen. Amen. Just like that alert the other night I was talking about. That's the same way. Brother, or God wouldn't put it on my heart. My job's to preach and my job's to tell you the truth and your job's to take it and do what's right. And if you don't, you're going to suffer dire consequences down the road. Amen. I get tired of hearing people say, "Preacher, I can't afford it." I can't afford not to. I ain't rolling in money either. But hey, I'm healthy. My family's healthy. Everything's running smooth. The bills are paid. The lights are on. The heat works. And the air conditioning works. I've got a nice soft leather recliner I sleep in. And snap my fingers and she brings my food and my drink, whatever. I trailed off back toward the end. I was doing good, wasn't I? That part, you forget that last part. But I'm just saying, if you'll do what God said and be faithful in the thing, listen, if you'll be faithful with your kids and your family and your time and your tithes and offerings and all those things, God will abundantly bless you more than you ever imagined. I'm convinced that's why people bounce around from church to church and they don't want to join and they don't want to be accountable. That way nobody knows where they're at and nobody knows what they're putting in the offering plate. But hey, I got news for you. You're like that little boy, him and his daddy stealing watermelons, and they looked this way and that way and this way and that way. And they said, "It's all clear." And the little boy said, "Daddy, you forgot to look one way." And he said, "What?" He said, "Up."
Amen.
He said, "God's watching us. God's watching. He knows what you got. He knows what you're carrying around. He knows what you're doing. Hey, I'm just trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to get the favor of God on your life if you're just obeying. He never fails the faithful." Y'all know I don't preach on money very much. But I was talking about tithing. He never fails those that are faithful. If you'll be faithful in that, when push comes to shove, something will break. God just has a way. God just has a way of letting you get right down. Hey, it may not happen to everybody, but it's happened to me, brother. It's happened to us several times. I mean, brother, when you get down, you say, "Oh, well, that's never happened to me." Good luck with that attitude, because it might before it's over. Amen. He's faithful. He never fails His Father. He never fails the faithful. If we'll stay faithful, God's going to bless us. Could I tell you how many times I've gone to church before and seen like half the church has missed church and stayed out, and some of them, you don't know where they're at. I want to tell you something. There's nothing hurts a preacher any more than that. There's nothing more discouraging than to get to church. I mean, church is going good. Everything's going fine. And half your people don't show up. And sometimes you don't even want to know why they're not there. Sometimes you'd rather not know, because if you do know, you either get about half backslidden and want to beat them up, or you just feel like killing them or something like that, or you just feel like going somewhere and sit down and cry a while. You say, "Well, the preacher, it don't hurt nobody when I'm not there." You don't really believe that, do you? You don't really believe that, do you? Does it bother you when one of your kids don't show up? You don't know where they're at? Got cold on us, didn't it? Listen, He never fails His Father. He never fails the faithful. Number three, He never fails His friends. John chapter 11, the Bible said, they sent for Jesus and they said, "Lazarus is sick." And Lazarus is one of His friends, but the Bible said he abode two more days. He went the other direction. And they said when he did show up, Lazarus had died and he was dead and in the grave for 4 days. And Martha came out there to meet him and she said, "Lord," she said, "if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." And she's all broken down. He'd been dead 4 days, done had his funeral, done put him in the ground. And listen, that's just like a lot of Christians, ain't it? We just seem to think the Lord's failed me, the Lord's let me down. "God, why'd you let me go through this? I can understand him going through it. I can understand her going through it. But Lord, look, it's me. Lord, I'm your prized possession. I'm the best Christian you got. How come I'm going through this?" But you ain't exempt. You ain't bulletproof.
Amen.
She said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." And she ran back, got married. She came back. Guess what Mary said? She said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." How many times do we question God? Tragedy strikes, trouble comes up, things happen. We say, "Lord, why did you let us get in this shape? Lord, why did you let us get like this? God, why is this happening?" And they thought the Lord had let them down. But Jesus said, He said, "All these things have come to pass for the righteousness of God, that God might be glorified." And He said, "Show me where they laid Him." And they took Him down there to Lazarus' tomb, and there was a big old stone rolled up, and His tomb was closed. And Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." And she said, "Now, Lord..." You see, women trying to run the church started way back a long time ago. And she said, "Lord, you do realize he's been dead 4 days. And you know what happens to somebody when they're dead 4 days? They start stinking. They stink, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. You do understand that. 4 days. He's been dead 4 days. He died on Monday and this is Friday. Yeah, well, it's 4 days. Us rednecks have to do like this, kind of like Jethro Bodine used to do, Cypher. And he said... She said, "Lord, he's dead. He's been dead 4 days and he stinks by now. And the Bible said Jesus wept and the people said, oh, how much he must have loved him. I want to tell you this morning, I'm glad to say I thank God that I'm one of his friends. He's one of my friends. He's the best friend I've ever had. He's never failed me. And Jesus said, roll the stone away. And they rolled it back and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Brother Lazarus jumped up and he come humping out there and his grave clothes all wrapped up. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Oh, brother, he never fails his friend. I say he'll loose you and let you go. Whatever's got you bound, whatever's got you down, whatever's got you wrapped up and tangled up, if you'll just come to Jesus, he'll never fail you. He never fails. Never fails his friends. I want to say this. I'm going to move right along. Look at Psalm number 51. He never fails the fallen. I said his father, he never fails his father. He never fails his friends. He never fails the faithful. But he never fails the fallen. David was a great man. He was a great king. But David failed, brother. And you know he did. David is the example we always use about a man that had everything. And his life went downhill when he committed one sin. One sin led to another. I'll read a couple of verses to you here real quick. I want you to look at this. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You notice how many times he said, my iniquity, my transgression, my sin. David was owning up to his sin. If you're falling in sin, if you're falling out into the world, and you've fallen out with the church, Jesus Christ will never fail those people if you come to him. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Everywhere I look, I see it. Can't hide from it. You can't run from it. Everywhere you go, there ain't no fix. You can't dope yourself up. You can't drink yourself down. Enough to get away from it. He said, it's ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, now that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I'm going to skip down for time's sake. Look what he said. There's the part I want to get to. Verse 17, for the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. There's one thing that'll get God's attention, and that's a broken heart. But if you're not broken about your sin, I wouldn't even get up and come down the altar. I wouldn't waste the energy. But if you're really broken about it and you're really sorry, he'll forgive you. Because he's never failed those that are fallen. Listen, I've seen people get saved. I've seen a lot of things, and I've read a lot of stories about things that's happened. I remember one time we were singing and preaching in this prison up in North Carolina, and it wasn't one of these prisons like O.J. Simpson stayed in. I mean, it was a real prison where they had gates and bars and barbed wire and guards standing around with rifles and that kind of stuff. And we went in there that Sunday night, and we went after church, I believe it was, and went up there and we sang and I preached. And then several of them got saved, several in prisoners. And I know how prisoners are, and I've preached in them lots of times, and I know what people think. Well, that's jailhouse religion. And it may be. Sometimes it is. But how do you know what a man's really getting saved? But some of them came up and got saved that night. One, I'll never forget one older guy. He looked like he was maybe 60, older than me at the time. I was about 30 at the time or something like that. He came up, and he got saved, and he said, preacher, he said, I'm a free man now. He said, I know I'll never get out of here. I'm in here for life. But he said, inside, he said, I'm a free man. He said, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard people preach. I've heard people talk about him. But I never met him till today. I said, what are you in here for? Just curious, you know. Just had to ask. He said, capital murder. He said, I murdered a man. And he said, I'm in here for life. He said, I'll never see the light of day. But he said, you know what? He said, I can do something while I'm in here. He said, I can witness to people. I said, I can carry my Bible. What are you saying, preacher? He never fails those that are fallen. Those that have fallen in sin and their life is a wreck and their life is in shambles and everything seems like it's going backwards. Nothing makes any sense. He never fails those kind of people. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. He specializes in the impossible. I know what some people think. They think, well, preacher, you don't understand what I've done and how bad things are. And it might surprise you if you hear some of our stories. how bad our life got. It might surprise you to find out some of the trials we've been through since we got saved. I'm looking at people here this morning that's saved, and some of you's got some problems. If you turn it over to God, He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. He'll do exactly what He said He would do. But you got to believe Him. Got to believe it. He never fails the fallen. Say, preacher, I used to live for God and be on fire for God and be close to God, but now I'm just so far away. He'll never fail you if you'll call on Him.
Amen.
Last thing I want to say is He'll never fail in our future. Look at Revelation chapter 19. I want to read something to you. Revelation chapter number 19. What a blessed passage of Scripture. We're going to give an altar call in a minute. And I know the Lord's hit some people's hearts, but I can't do anything else about it. I can't do anything else for you. It's like going to the doctor. All the doctor can do is diagnose your problem, give you some medicine. That's all he can do. If you don't take it, then it's on you. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a new name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. That's where he's going to straighten this mess out. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh, name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's not going to fail us when it comes to our future. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails in our future. One of these days, this is going to be over. We're passing through, I tell you, every week when we come in here. We're just passing through. This is temporary. This is a getting ready place. This is a dressing room for eternity. And why, I don't understand why people can't see that, why people can't understand it, why you can't get people to grasp hold of that, that this life is so short and it's going to be gone, and it's going to be over with so quick. But He won't fail you in your future if you'll trust Him. Ronnie, come get us a song. The only thing I have to trust in for my future is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If I put my works and my religion and all that, if I was dependent on that to get me anywhere, I wouldn't get far. Religion has failed man for centuries. Philosophy will fail you. Good works will fail you, because you can't always do good works. Being good will fail you. You know what? The Ten Commandments will fail you. You know why? Because you can't keep them. You can't keep them enough to get yourself righteous to get to heaven. But Jesus will never fail. I know I've said some rough things this morning, and I know it's been a little bit tight in here this morning. It ain't always about shouting and running aisles, but it's about you getting what God's got for you. I believe somebody this morning, God's rung your bell. But like I said earlier, there ain't nothing else I can do. I'm like a paper boy. All I can do is ride by on my bicycle and throw you paper up on the porch. I can't make you take it in the house and read it. The mailman brings your light bill. He can't make you pay it. Now it's up to you and God. But I'm telling you, Jesus never failed. You say, preacher, I've got things in my life. I've got problems. I know. We all do. Hey, let me share something with you. You think just because I'm the preacher and pastor of a good church like this that I'm problem-free? I got a good life. But I have problems. Sometimes things comes along that I don't know what to do about. But I've been in it long enough and I figured it out. As a young preacher, stay close to Him and stay in this book. Because if you do what most people do, here's what most people do. Well, I got problems, things are falling apart, things ain't working out, so I'm just gonna quit church. It ain't working. That's like saying, well, I think I got cancer, but I ain't going back to any doctors. I ain't going back. It ain't doing me no good. That's the opposite of what you ought to do. If I were you this morning, I had some of these problems I preached on, I'd cling to this book. And you couldn't pay me to miss church. I see people's marital problems with the same. It blows my mind. Hit and miss, hit and miss. Right here's your therapy, right here.
Amen.
Best church in the county you can go to, in my opinion.
Amen.
And you get preaching and singing and fellowship and everything you need. Why would you go away from that and take a chance of train wreck down the road. And that's exactly what will happen. Exactly what will happen. Christian people don't have it in them. We have the Holy Spirit in us to guide us, but He won't make us do right. So we have also the sin nature ability to do what's wrong and pay the consequences for it. And you always do. Everybody reaps what they sow, no matter who you are. Me, you, all of us, we reap what we sow. Let's all stand this morning. Heads bowed just for a minute.